You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
There are two doorstop books I've read from cover to cover at least three times. One is the King James Bible, believe it or not. But if you know, you've been paying attention to my advice over the years, it's basically been one long epic 30-year riff on do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The other doorstop book I've read three times, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shirer. Shirer was a foreign correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and then for CBS Radio in Germany before the Nazis came to power, and he kept a diary. He was an eyewitness to the rise of fascism. And yeah, what Shirer bore witness to in the 20s and early 30s before he had to leave Berlin at the start of the war kind of feels like what we're living through right here, right now. The parallels are unnerving, particularly what happened in Portland this weekend, where Trump supporters mustered in a suburb and then drove through the center of that liberal city, harassing and pepper spraying BLM protesters and others who were just going about their lives. That shit is straight out of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Or as Lee Carter put it on Twitter, the history of the Nazis holding rallies in left-wing areas of Weimar Germany, instigating street fights, and then telling the press that only they could save Germany from the violent communists seems like an important thing for people to be studying right now. Trump is inciting violence. Violence he hopes will benefit him politically. Here's Kellyanne Conway, all drama, no mama, saying the quiet part out loud on Fox News this Sunday.
There was a quote today from a restaurateur in Wisconsin saying, "Are you protesters trying to get Donald Trump reelected? He knows full stop, and I guess Mayor Pete knows full stop, that the more chaos and anarchy and vandalism and violence reigns, the better it is for the very clear choice on who's best on public safety and law and order."
That, on one level, is nonsensical. To prevent the kind of violence and chaos we're seeing right now, we need to vote for the guy who is not doing anything to stop that violence and chaos and actually stoking the violence and chaos. And Trump is inciting violence, more violence, because he hopes it will benefit him politically. That's why Trump spent the weekend heaping praise on that 17-year-old fan of his who shot and killed two protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and on that caravan of Trump clown shirts that drove through Portland on Saturday, where one person died, a Trump supporter, it appears, in a shooting that we don't yet have all the details about. But either way, whether it's BLM protesters who are dying in the streets or Trump supporters, Donald Trump loves this shit for the only reason Donald Trump has ever loved anything. Because Donald Trump thinks it benefits Donald Trump. Unlike Hitler, when his brown shirts were terrorizing Weimar Berlin, Trump's already in power. So these Trump caravans, which bear a striking resemblance to those ISIS caravans that paraded through the streets of conquered Iraqi cities a few years ago, the best comparison might not be the street fights instigated by Hitler's brown shirts, but the burning of the Reichstag, the building where Germany's parliament met, which took place after the Nazis came to power, but before they had total power. That fire, which was likely set by the Nazis themselves, led to the seizure of total power, the imprisonment and execution of left-wing leaders, the Second World War, and the Holocaust. What Trump is doing right now is like setting a million little Reichstag fires all over the country. And he's doing it between now and what is sure to be a contested election in November. This shit, this political shit, is above the pay grade of your average and humble, always humble, sex advice columnist / podcaster. I'm honestly not sure how best to respond to these provocations. How we, those of us living in large liberal cities, engines of the wealth that subsidizes through our tax dollars, the parts of the country where the Trumpers live, I'm not sure how best to respond in the moment when it's happening, when that Trump caravan is coming up the street. Ignoring them seems passive and complicit, but confronting them could well play into Trump's hands, and I honestly do not know what to do. But I do know this. When a Black Lives Matter protest came down our street earlier this summer, I did not feel threatened. But if a Trump caravan were to come down our street, pick up trucks with white men sitting in the beds of them waving Trump 2020 flags and holding guns, I would feel threatened. Voting. Voting. is the only way out. It's important to note, if we're going to make references to pre-Nazi Germany and the rise of fascism in the heart of Europe, that the Nazis never won an election. They came close enough to steal. We can't let Trump come close. This may be our last chance to defeat authoritarianism in the United States. Republicans, of course, are erecting barriers to voting in every state they control. Trump is sabotaging the fucking post office across the country. But we aren't going to be able to dismantle these barriers in the next 9 weeks. So we're going to have to climb over them. And to that end, what I'm doing today is making a donation to votefromhome2020.org. It's an organization promoting vote by mail, working to turn out young Black and Latino voters in swing states. And for every $25 donated, they send 20 mail-in voting applications directly to voters' homes, and trained volunteers follow up with phone calls and texts to make sure that people fill out those applications, and then we'll follow up with them again to make sure they turn in their ballots and turn them in early. Not everyone's in a position to write a check right now, I realize, but if you can, please consider making a donation to votefromhome2020.org. And if you can't, hell, even if you can make that donation, make sure you're also registered to vote yourself. Make sure everyone you know is registered to vote, and make sure you and everyone you know who's registered to vote actually votes this November. We have got to turf this motherfucker out. This may be our last chance. All right, shifting gears, coming up on the Magnum, we've got a What You Got about dick pics, everything science can tell us about dick pics. Tons of your cues on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, of course. More cues, more guests, no ads on the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com. All that coming up. This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get up to $200 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/savage.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. And get $80 off your first box when you go to HelloFresh.com/Savage80.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cisgender woman in my early 30s calling with a solo quarantine sex story. I'm quarantining alone and have been through the gamut of horniness, ranging from masturbating for hours to feeling like a cloistered nun. Last year, when I was traveling through South America, I had the best sex of my life with a hot Argentinian tour guide. A few weeks ago, he FaceTimed me. We chit-chatted for a bit, and all of a sudden, he pulled out his hard dick. I'm usually terrible at video sex because I feel self-conscious, but he told me to switch the camera view so it was on my body, not on my face. We both started masturbating. He proceeded to tell me what to do. He had me on my back, then on all fours, and after I came, he told me to switch the camera view so it was on my face and made me put my wet, sticky fingers in my mouth. It was incredibly hot, and I realized that the only reason why I don't like video sex is due to a lack of imagination on my part. After we hung up the phone, he sent me a picture of his dick still dripping with cum. Turns out you can still make sexy memories. All you need is an iPhone and a hot Argentine on the other end of the line.
Thank you very much for sharing your sex success story, your quarantine sex success story. I personally really love your story because some people are uncomfortable jacking off on camera together, masturbating together via video chat, which has been recommended by health departments all over the world to help people get through this pandemic, get through isolation and social distancing while still having active and engaged sex lives. But some people are uncomfortable with it because they don't know what to do. Well, if there are two people who don't know what to do, who are trying to do this together, that's not going to work. But if there's one person who knows what they want the other person to do and can unspool that for the other person, can tell them what to do, and it turns that person who's being told what to do on to be told what to do, it can be magic, as you discovered. Thank you for calling and sharing. Want to remind everybody that we're starting a new podcast where people can share their dirty stories, their erotic stories, their real life experiences. It's called 5 Minute Fuck. We're going to take the best story submitted to 5 Minute Fuck and animate it as an entry, as a film, in the next Hump Film Festival. For more information, go to 5minfuck.com, FiveminFuck.com, and get busy scripting and submitting your best dirty stories.
Hi, Dan. So I was in a relationship for 6 months. We never made it official or anything. Nobody ever said that we were girlfriend, boyfriend. Until one day in the Central West End, a hobo came up to us and said we were like chopping suey. And he asked if we were married. And my person, my guy friend at the time, was like, oh, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. Told this hobo. So that was the first time I heard that we're a girlfriend and boyfriend. Okay. And so we sat down and I go, oh, so we're girlfriend and boyfriend. And he just kind of shrugged about it. Okay. Life goes on. He invites me to an island in Florida vacation, and it was awful. I met some of his family. He treated me like I was a little sister to him. He is 41. I'm 27 now. He made me feel like shit. And so I left Florida and I went to fucking California. I had to have my own vacation because that vacation sucks with all the old folks around. Not really old. They were like 40s and 60s, but still, I'm in my 20s, and I did not have a good time with them. It's not about where you are, too, with. I really learned that a lot on that trip. But anyway, so when I came back, I broke up with them. I said, this isn't going to work. And now we're still hanging out, and the sex is amazing. Like, I've never came so much with anybody else in my fucking life, and it's really hard to say no to it. And we still have a good time with each other, and it's really hard to say no to hang out, and I just don't know what to do. Don't think I'm in love. I don't know. I just get this crazy feeling around him, and it's fun to be around him, and the sex is amazing. I don't know, Dan. Can you help me out?
As a general rule, if you don't want to hang out with the olds, don't fuck the olds. If you're going to fuck somebody in his 40s and then you're going to socialize with that person in his 40s, you may find yourself every once in a while on an island with other people in their 40s. That said, of course, you can fuck someone in their 40s as you are still fucking someone in their 40s without winding up on an island with that guy and all of his friends. And that's by keeping it just fucking, a friends with benefits relationship, not a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And as a general rule, people don't go on vacations with their FWBs. They just show up at their apartments or allow the person to show up at their apartment for the sex. That can be awesome. And all that said, yours is one of those calls that, for some strange reason, because of the way my brain is wired, reminds me of what Henry IV of France said when he became king. He had to convert to Catholicism to become king. And he said, Paris is well worth a mass. Is this guy, maybe this guy is your Paris, maybe, you know, putting up with him and his friends and maybe some of his patronizing attitudes based on age, and you seem to have your own patronizing attitudes that are rooted in age, is worth it because the sex is amazing. And if it isn't, if you really don't like him or don't want to be drawn any further into a relationship with him that he seems to be willing to define, at least when there's a hobo doing the interrogating and no to that word, then again, stop fucking him. But the sex is amazing. You say the sex is amazing and you've continued to hang out even after your dramatic little scene on that island where you had to be medevaced to the airport and probably to a bar at the airport and then medevaced across the country to California and then jump in a car and drive all over the place despite the pandemic. Yeah, if the sex is amazing, keep fucking this guy. You don't have to date this guy. You don't have to be his girlfriend, but the longer you go on fucking this guy that it sounds like you kind of like and the sex works, the greater the danger that you're going to be drawn into a relationship with him, a romantic relationship with him, potentially a committed relationship, which he, if he took you off to meet family and friends, seems open to in a way that you are not. You say the sex is amazing. You can have amazing sex with other people. The odds that this guy is the only guy out of the billions of guys crawling around on the planet right now that you can have this kind of amazing sex with, very, very, very slim. There are other guys that you can have sex just as amazing as the sex you're having with this guy, or even more amazing. And you are likelier to do the work, and it's more work, particularly now in our circumstances, to find those guys if you aren't fucking this guy. So shit or get off his face. Fuck him or don't, but don't complain about fucking him as if you aren't making a choice to fuck him. And if you're going to date him, even at 27, you're going to have to learn how to tolerate hanging out with a few other of your old boyfriend's fellow olds from time to time. Now it's time for me to sing the praises of Helix Sleep. It's such a comfortable mattress and can handle everything we require of our mattresses at our house, which is actually quite a lot. It is the best bed you could possibly own for all the reasons people own beds. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences with the perfect mattress for you. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size folks. Everything at Helix is made here in America. Everything has a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love Helix, they'll pick it up for a full refund. And here's one of the reasons I love Helix. They design their mattresses with sex in mind. All of their mattresses are hybrids, meaning they have both foam and springs in them, unlike many other companies. Having springs in your mattress rather than just foam keeps you from sinking in too much and gives you the perfect level of bounce and leverage. Their high-quality springs are incredibly quiet, and they won't sag even during your most athletic non-sleeping activities. Helix mattresses also have strong edge support thanks to their reinforced coil perimeter. This keeps things stable, so you never have to worry about rolling off the side of the bed no matter what you're doing on it. Terry and I took the quiz together and got the Helix Midnight Mattress, which is designed for side sleepers who like medium firmness. That's us. We've been sleeping on our Helix all year, and we both love it. We love our Helix, but you don't have to take our word for it. Helix was awarded number one best overall mattress of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. You can go to helix.com/savage, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They're also offering up to $200 off and 2 free pillows at helixsleep.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a late 40s woman married to a man for 15 years. We are currently separated. And about 5 years ago, we kind of hit a lull in our relationship. You know, the romance wasn't really happening. He wasn't interested in sort of going on dates and doing stuff anymore. We were still having sex, but it was married people sex. And yeah, it was just hard. And he actually went to the doctor and got a full blood workup and found out he had really low testosterone, like the testosterone of an 80-year-old. So he started supplementing with testosterone. There have been some really positive changes from that. He started pursuing hobby, mountain biking, working out a ton, and getting really kind of obsessive about that and obsessive about eating his diet. He changed everything around with that stuff. He became really ambitious, driven at work. Yeah, it didn't really change his romantic approach. It made him more like, how do I make myself happy approach to things, which is great. The downside is that he became pretty quick to anger. He seemed always annoyed with me and the children, just low patience, like impatient, grumpy when he wasn't doing the thing he wanted to do. If we don't do what he wants to do, he gets pretty grumpy. He gets angry if anybody else is angry at them because he thinks it's illogical for them to be angry. The disturbing part is that he was pretty moderate, maybe bordering a little bit on the libertarian conservative side, but he has dug in and he is super conservative now. Since Trump got elected, it has torpedoed our marriage. We're always arguing about politics. And we actually went to therapy and the therapist suggested we just don't talk about politics, which works on some level. But then, you know, obviously this is a proxy argument that we have. So we start arguing. And it's just not good. It's been really hard. But I wanted to know what the effects of testosterone are on relationships. How do they affect the individual? Does it make them more selfish? Does it make men more selfish? I hate to say it that way because I don't want to demonize men at all. Testosterone seems to have some really positive effects, but does it affect compassion? Does it affect care? Does it affect that? Or is this just unique to my husband?
I smell a rat. Low testosterone levels in men are associated with like loss of body mass, loss of body hair, loss of muscular, also sometimes tiredness and exhaustion and sexual dysfunction. And so going to a doctor, getting your hormone levels checked, good idea for a guy. If your testosterone is low, as in your husband's case, the testosterone of an 88-year-old, you can go on testosterone supplements that should bring you up to a baseline. And it will, you know, improve sexual functioning if you have low testosterone to have a normal testosterone level again. It can increase muscle mass. But sometimes going on something like testosterone, prescribed testosterone, people will change their behaviors to, in a way, take advantage of it, to sometimes make up for lost time. I suspect it may not be just testosterone that your husband is doing if you've noticed an extreme personality change. Testosterone, a lot of studies of, you know, aggression as a secondary male sex characteristic and testosterone's role in it. And there's no consensus. It kind of breaks down half and half, or half the studies find that the testosterone does contribute to aggression, aggressive behavior, and half find that there's no relationship. So jury is still out. What I suspect may be going on here is that perhaps your husband stared into the abyss and then pulled him back from the abyss, and it liberated him to become the asshole he always secretly was and to be more open about it because he stared into the abyss, because there's this dividing line he now sees in his life when he is rejecting the person he was when he had low testosterone in all instances, and maybe overcompensating for the person that he was when he had low testosterone. And now he is sort of leaning into the new feelings, the new sensations, the new him. And I suspect he may also, if he's become a gym rat, maybe has accessed other supplements or steroids that can contribute to aggressive behavior. There's also the pressure of right now. This could be about the timing. The pandemic, the Trump administration, it is pushing, as we see every day when the viral videos go up of people losing their shit, it is pushing a lot of people over the edge. So there's also the possibility their husband isn't on any other thing but testosterone, that he's only taking enough testosterone to be at a normal, healthy level of testosterone for a man his age. And it could just be that the shit in the air that is prompting people to vote for lunatics like Laura Loomer and to blow up at strangers in parking lots and Costco's has impacted your husband too. And it's just a coincidence that that happened to hit at the exact same time, roughly, that your husband began taking testosterone to treat a legitimate medical condition that a man might need to take testosterone for, low testosterone. So yeah, he sounds like a fucking asshole, testosterone or no testosterone. I would be, if I were you, not wondering about what testosterone did or didn't do to my husband, but wondering about exactly when I was going to inform my husband that he wasn't going to be my husband anymore.
Have you been thinking about putting together a website during this crazy, crazy, crazy time? Well, if you have, and maybe you should, then you should use Squarespace and make it a reality. Squarespace makes it so easy to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store without having massive web design or coding skills. It's intuitive. It's simple to use. You just do it. And it is truly the most efficient way to get a website up quickly. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. They have great-looking templates that you just drop in and it looks good right away. You can collaborate with other members of your group. Hey, Simone, how's it going, Gary? Do an email blast. You can connect with social media. You can get it set up with commerce, which, you know, means you could make some money off your website. Pretty much anything you need. Squarespace has got you covered. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, when, not if, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That helps us here at the Lovecast when you do this. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I am a mid-20-year-old female. I have recently celebrated my 6-month anniversary with a very supportive, incredible partner who is a man 4 years my junior. He is sensitive, which I love because I'm also very sensitive. He's very caring and very giving. The one thing is that our sex life frankly blows at this point. In the beginning, I thought I would settle for the comfort and stability of our relationship with the exception of having the passion that I have in the past, but it's gotten to the point where it's been 6 months now and he has not eaten me out. Recently, I've started flirting with disaster and speaking with somebody else online, and I'm finding myself almost unable to stop fantasizing and thinking about this other person while me and my partner have sex. I'm wondering how I can bridge the conversation with him about the fact that I need somebody who's a little bit more manly in my life and can provide for me sexually without absolutely destroying his ego.
All right, so this is me calling you back, because when I called you the first time, I caught you on the couch sitting next to the sensitive, caring, giving boyfriend.
Yes.
That sometimes happens.
Yeah, of course. It was actually pretty funny timing because we were in the middle of breaking up.
Oh, so you went ahead and did the deed then?
I went ahead and did the deed. He actually ended up going down on me like the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. He was very good at it, surprisingly so, for the fact that he didn't do it for the first 6 months of our relationship. But when that was over, I realized that even though he'd fulfilled everything I'd asked of him, I still wasn't really into it. So I figured it was time for me to get the hell out of Dodge.
Okay, well, let's drill down on this a second then, just to set you up for the next relationship. There's someone you want, I guess, OOB, oob, out of bedroom, and there's someone who kind of contrasts with what you want, OOB, in the bedroom, or IOB, or oob. And you want sensitive,
yeah,
caring, giving out of the bedroom, and you want a bit more, I guess, manly and taking and tossing you around in the bedroom, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Did you ever tell him that you want both those things and ideally in one person? Did he know that, you know, because he may have had it in him, but, you know, he's so sensitive, caring, and giving that he wouldn't assume that you would want to be treated that way in the bedroom. But, it, you know, he might be able to or even want to treat you that way in the bedroom, or his sex partner's that way. But he thinks that might disqualify him from sensitive, caring, and giving, SCG, that obviously you are also prioritizing or looking for.
Yeah, I actually did have a conversation with him about that. And because he's 4 years younger than me, he took it very personally. And he was like, I feel like this is a personal attack on my age because I am not manly enough for you. Mm-hmm. And he just made it into something that was really toxic. And it turned into a really, really big fight when I was just trying to let him know what my needs were.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel too good about that.
Another good reason for dumping him, that he couldn't hear that kind of feedback,
yeah,
without, you know, attributing it to something arbitrary or attributing it to some sort of ageist prejudice on your part. I don't think that's anything to do with it. I have been tossed around by people who were a decade or two younger than me. It's not necessarily about age. It's about style, taste, you know, their sexuality and your sexuality and kind of gelling. But, you know, going forward, you know, there is something that you want from a partner, and he had what you wanted in a partner, and there's something very different that you want in a sex partner. And there are some people who can do both and bring both to the table, and they have more than one gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take sexually and be aggressive sexually, and they know when to shift into that gear. And they know because you've talked about it, or because you guys, you know, sometimes people don't talk about it. They just click sexually, and they've demonstrated out of the bedroom that they're sensitive, caring, and giving. And they've demonstrated in the bedroom that, you know, they fuck the way you like to be fucked, right? But if you find yourself in this situation in the future, you need someone a bit more masculine in your life than the, you know, maybe then the person that you're dating is demonstrating. Well, there's two ways to control for that. Give feedback like you did, unsuccessfully in this case. So he had to go. I support your decision to dump him. There's also having more than one person in your life.
Yeah, and that was the other flip side of this, is that I really was highly considering asking him to open up our relationship. But then, of course, circumstantially, I was like, how insensitive is it of me to, and just frankly dumb of me to be like, oh, let's open up our relationship in the midst of a global pandemic. So him and I are staying friends, and I told him that, like, you know, maybe in the future, like, we can try and rekindle this and then perhaps bridge the conversation about being in a more open relationship. But for right now, I just needed to let him go.
So the sensitive, caring, giving sex that you had with him, where I guess he was just too attentive, or what was it about his sex style that wasn't whapping you out?
So this is kind of funny, actually. So when we first started dating, almost every single time we had sex — I don't drink alcohol, I've been sober for a couple of years — but almost every single time we had sex, he would have had a couple of drinks in him. Mm-hmm. And in about 3 months into our relationship, he decided to quit drinking. And then he started coming extremely quickly, like coming, I would say, like within the first 20 seconds of having sex.
Or the first 20 seconds of penetrative vaginal intercourse.
Penetrative sex, yeah. And he was not willing to, like, go down on me beforehand. And he was not really willing to, like, finger me for more than, like, a minute before he wanted to get on with it.
Oh, God.
And he admitted to me that, like, the reason that he drank so much in the beginning of our relationship is because he wanted to last longer. And then once he got comfortable with me, he felt like he could finally show me his, like, true sexual colors. And I was like, excuse me, this is not what I signed up for.
Oh, my God. So as soon as you'd made an emotional investment in him, he stopped drinking and showed you at a time when he thought then you would be too emotionally invested in him to pull out, quote unquote, ironically,
exactly. And
exit the relationship. And so he was like, fait accompli, here's what sex is going to be like from here on out. 20 seconds.
And it worked for a good 4 months too. Like, I stayed at it for 4 months of 20 second bouts. It was a bit too much for me.
Okay. Well, he's in the past. We don't have to talk about him anymore. Careful on the staying friends front. Like, don't keep the wounds open, particularly if he's wounded. You don't want to keep that wound open. But going forward in the future, you know, you meet the next sensitive, caring, giving guy, make it clear early in the relationship that you want all that sensitivity, caring, and giving outside of the bedroom. But inside of the bedroom, you guys have got to find that other groove that makes you, turns you on and works for you. And give the guy the opportunity to rise to that occasion. Because some guys, they're very self-conscious about, you know, being too porny in the bedroom or being aggressive in ways that might turn a woman off, particularly a woman who made it clear when they were connecting romantically and intimately that she was seeking sort of the opposite of who she wants him to be in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't tell him that, he doesn't know. And if he doesn't know, mm-hmm. you know, guys can't, you know, the cliche is that women want men to read their minds. I'm in a relationship with a dude who thinks I should be able to read his mind. It's not just a gendered thing, but don't think that they can read your minds. Give the guys an earlier opportunity to be who you need them to be in the sack.
Okay. Would you recommend saying that to somebody before you've slept with them, like, the first time, or to kind of bridge that? Because I don't want to, like, jump the gun and be like, hey, so, like, if we're going to fuck in the future, like, this is what I need.
No.
Or is it something that I should...
I think it's something where you want to fuck a few times. Because, you know, if the guy is just, that's how, if he is able to shift gears like that, if he can read you and, you know, you can read each other sexually and you just... you know, without having to talk about it a lot, without having to give him a roadmap for instructions, it happens organically. And I'm not a huge fan usually of, like, you know, letting it happen naturally and not communicating. But if it just, you guys spark sexually and it's there, then you'll know. And if it's, there are seeds of it, if there's some signs of it, then you can kind of grow it. You can, in a sexy way, give them, like, more permission while you're fucking to get a little bit more aggressive by using your words and asking for what you want, you know? But I would wait. I would wait a couple of times.
Okay.
And see if you enjoy sex out of the gate and, you know, see if there's some of what you want there. And if you just if you wet ass pussy the right things, they'll grow. And you guys will grow together in the direction that works for you and works for them.
Yeah. Yay. Well, I really hope that I'm able to find that sometime in the future and that this pandemic settles down.
Yeah, me too. One last question for you. Was the guy good at eating pussy, this boy that you just sent packing?
He was so fucking good. Like, as soon as he did it, it was outstanding.
Was he hard
and
while he ate your pussy?
Pardon?
Was he hard?
Yeah, he was. So we would like,
for fuck's sake.
We would take nine.
For fuck's sake. Why
it was such a shame.
Yeah. You might want to tell him that and then not see him for 6 months or a year. So then you can be friends, but you can't be friends next week.
Yeah. And like, even afterwards, like for like the 2 days after he like ate me out, he was just like, he would not stop talking about it. He was like, I loved that so much. Like, I just want more. Like, what do you want for dinner? Like, I want your pussy. And I was just like, damn.
A little late, dude.
Where is Ben? Exactly.
I've already got your pink slip in the nightstand drawer. I'm so sorry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thank you so much. You've definitely really helped, and it's been very cathartic to be able to speak this out.
And how ironic that I call you and you're still with him. I call you back and it's already over. But I'm glad we could do this debrief, this exit interview with you.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much, Dan.
Sure thing. Bye. Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? We have switched. Our house has switched to HelloFresh. Get fresh pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door, like we are, with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit and number one for a reason. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking. The recipes are easy to follow, quick to make, with simple steps and pictures to guide you every step along the way. There are tons of delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut and try new things. We signed up for the vegetarian option because we're trying to be a little kinder to the planet, and we are so glad we did. It's helping us learn new vegetarian recipes as we gradually make this switch. We are going to try the harissa sweet potato pockets this week and also the silky Sicilian penne. One big perk of HelloFresh, the packaging they use to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled materials. Another way to be kinder to the planet. You can also easily change your delivery days or food preferences or skip a week whenever you need to. HelloFresh is really flexible. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. HelloFresh donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019. And this year, they're stepping up food donations as we've stepped up our food donations to local communities amid the coronavirus crisis. Go to HelloFresh.com/Savage80 and use the code, again, Savage80, to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/Savage80. Use the code Savage80. For $80 off and free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Hi, Dan. I'm an early 40s trans woman living in Toronto, Canada, and have been on HRT for a little over a year. I'm often told I pass for my early 30s. I'm recently separated with two young boys, my wife and I successfully co-parent. I've had a few surgeries, including breast augmentation, recent voice surgery, FFS, and a hair transplant. I'm about 6'2", pretty lean but muscular, and maybe pass half the time at best. I'm interested in cis and trans women, and I'm horny and love to please my partners. My question relates to my plumbing. I still have a functioning penis that is happy to do the job, but here's the thing. I don't hate it per se, but I'm waiting for approval for bottom surgery, and what turns my crank is full-on lesbian sex, which does not include a penis, even my own. My friends tell me to live this middle life to its fullest and bang away while I'm waiting for bottom surgery. And I don't mind, but it's just not my thing. I like eating pussy for an extended period of time, but don't come from it myself. When it comes to the PIV part, it feels wrong for some reason, but right in some other ways. I do want to come and really just don't know how to get over this mental block. I'm looking for a monogamous or monogamish relationship with a woman who is GGG, and I don't know how to reconcile this in-between time. I also don't know what woman is going to be okay with a penis, tits, and then eventually a neo-vagina. I feel like my pool of potential mates is like one in a million. Please help, Dan.
The best you can do, all you can do, all any of us can do, is put ourselves out there as we are, be honest about who we are and where we're at, and see who comes our way, see who we attract, see who we appeal to. And what you're thinking is because you still have a penis and you're going to get bottom surgery and have a vagina, is that whoever you're with now can't possibly be someone you'll be with forever. Well, there are lots of people out there who are, lots of trans people out there who are still with the people that they partnered with before their transition, before in many cases they even realized they were trans. I heard from Jenny Boylan, trans writer, columnist, The New York Times, that roughly half of all marriages, when one person comes out as trans, survives. So that would seem to indicate that if you got into a relationship now with someone, there may be a chance that that relationship would endure and survive your transition if it works in all other ways. Seems even likelier that yours might endure and survive your bottom surgery if the person that you're seeing knows that you intend to get bottom surgery, knows that going in, that the penis you have and can enjoy having, and they can enjoy if they're capable of enjoying your penis, is just for now, not forever, and that you are going to have bottom surgery, bottom gender confirmation surgery. But you know, if you zoom out for a second and think about relationships and the way relationships work, you know, every relationship you're going to be in is going to fail for some reason or another until one doesn't. You don't know which one that is until you die while you're still with somebody, if you're lucky enough to die partnered, right? Which is the brass ring, allegedly, supposedly. And I reject that language usually about, you know, a relationship that ended failed, but just, you know, using it there. So rather than saying, I can't possibly mate with somebody, anybody, I can't probably get with anybody or date anybody now because things could change, well, even after you get the bottom surgery, that will still be true. There's no guarantee after you get the bottom surgery that if you meet somebody who's into you, into your vagina, you're into them, into their vagina, that that relationship is going to be the one you're in until, you know, for the next several, hopefully decades, until the end of your life or their life, or, you know, if you're lucky enough to go out together, a car crash when you're 95, both your lives. So be a bit more zen about it. Yeah, you might wind up with somebody for now who really enjoys who you are now, and that relationship might not be forever, and that's okay. And maybe your bottom surgery, once you get it, will be a contributing factor in the end of that relationship. But if the person knows going in that you're going to get bottom surgery, that seems unlikely. That relationship could end for reasons that have nothing to do with your genitals or your being trans. And if that relationship that you're in now ends, then you can date women going forward after your bottom surgery where you, they know what they're going to get, and this is who you're going to be. This is what your genitals are going to be like forever, and there's not going to be this moment of transition, this moment of bottom surgery, and maybe that relationship will last forever, or maybe it won't. You just can't know. So you have to let go of this stress that because you're still in transition, that no one would want to be with you through your transition. There's lots of evidence out there. I'm sure you're reading and talking to other people who are trans. I'm sure you're reading about other people's experiences transitioning with bottom surgery. There are lots of examples out there of people who had a partner before they got top or bottom surgery, and their partner is still with them post top and bottom surgery. But there are no guarantees. And that sounds like it's what you're stressing about, because there are no guarantees. You fear getting into a relationship now. You know what? There are no guarantees ever, whether you're cis or trans, at what point in your transition you're at when you get into a relationship. There are no guarantees. You have to not quite let go of that stress of there being no guarantees, but rather just acknowledge it, embrace it, get over it, and then get out there as yourself, as you are now, making it clear to the people you date now that there are more changes coming, changes they may welcome, changes they may not. All right, before we get to response calls, let's read some tweets. Patrick Miller tweets, if you revisit the Falwell's puke emoji in your rant, Dan, can you please highlight when Becky Falwell blew her son's bandmate, even though he was a 22-year-old man, her advance was an uninvited, non-consensual abuse of power. It needs to be said. Well, you said it, Patrick, and anyone who wants to read all about that creepy, coercive blowjob, you can find that story at Politico. The Falwells deny this allegation, but the then 22-year-old Liberty University student, the then 40-something Mrs. Falwell, is alleged to have blown, confided in friends at the time about the incident and how uncomfortable it made him to get blown first by his friend's mom in the middle of the night in his friend's house, and secondly, by the wife of the president of Liberty University, which expels students for engaging in premarital sex, and there is no exception in the student code of conduct for banging the president's wife. In other Falwell news, both halves of that despicable couple continue to deny the suggestion that Jerry knew anything about Becky's pool boy. So it's like I said, Jerry didn't throw Becky under a bus when he tried to blame all their problems on the emotional fallout of Becky's affair with the pool boy. She crawled the fuck under that bus like she crawled the fuck under that pool boy of her own free will, because Becky loves that sweet, sweet fundy money just as much as Jerry does. And just as much as Jerry likes watching Becky guzzle those sweet, sweet pool boy loads. Kronz of Non tweets, hey, at Fake Dan Savage, after hearing episode 722 of the Savage Lovecast, I humbly ask that you please make some We're All Pool Boys Now merch. I will take that into consideration. And finally, Stone Cold Jane Austen, whose tweets I've shared before, had this to say about my Falwell rant. At Fake Dan Savage posited a theory that Jerry Falwell is sick and tired of being tied to Liberty University and deliberately hit the self-destruct button to get out of it. That interpretation would seem to be backed up by the comments Jerry Falwell Jr. himself made after he announced his resignation. In addition to insisting he hadn't broken any rules that apply to staff, students can't have premarital sex or commit adultery, but apparently the president of the university can, which makes Falwell just another example of a screw as I say, not as I screw Christian conservative. Anyway, Falwell, who recently had to apologize for a racist tweet, and it was just one of his racist tweets out of many of his racist tweets that he had to apologize for, Falwell had the nerve to loot one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s most famous speeches. Free at last, Falwell said before adding, that's the way I feel getting out of Liberty University. All right. Falwell's out of Liberty University. If only we could all get him out of our timelines now. We want to thank everybody who tweets about the show and uses the hashtag Savage Lovecast so we can find your tweets and share the ones I like best on the show. We really appreciate it. It helps promote the show when you let your followers know about it, know that you're listening and comment. Also, if you want to zip on over to iTunes and leave a review for the Savage Lovecast, we would appreciate that as well. And now your response calls.
I'm responding to the caller who has a fragrance sensitivity but didn't want to tell her boyfriend about it because she was worried about offending him. And I feel like this is part of the category of calls you get from women who, as you point out, have been conditioned and socialized to defer to men and to avoid offending men at all costs. And before I started listening to your show, I didn't realize how much I do this in my own life. And listening to your show has really helped me recognize it and work to stop doing it. So I just wanted to thank you for always patiently but forcefully encouraging us women to stick up for ourselves.
Hi, Dan. This message is for Walking Dildo. If I could recreate sexual experiences in my life, it would be with the two lesbian, bi-identified-ish women. I've done so in the past separately, but they were incredibly giving and open and so completely incredible that I, for some reason, view them as these unicorns. And I'm a little heartbroken that she didn't say she's in my area, because at least I'd have the hope of that. But I can't think of any halfway decent guy who wouldn't be down. I know I certainly would.
Hey, Dan, calling about episode 722 in response to the woman whose partner wanted to video a cuckolding session with her. One way to safely video could be to buy a cheap old digital or even VHS camcorder, then only watch it together, and she remains in control of the video at all times. It might be a fun, kinky throwback to simpler days.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number. If you want to leave a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. You can also use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question and then email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. If you missed the 15th Annual Hump Film Festival online a few months ago, we have several new screenings scheduled just for you by popular demand starting this Friday, September 4th. Go to humpfilmfest.com to watch the trailer and get your tickets for a variety of different showings. And they're still accepting submissions for 5-Minute Fuck. They're looking for erotic fictional tales, sexy true stories, real sex, whatever you think makes a great dirty audio short. They'll compile their favorites into one great podcast series, and one lucky story will be animated and be submitted and be a part of the 2021 Hump Film Festival program. Go to 5min, that's F-I-V-E-M-I-N, fuck.com to learn more. And I want to thank Chris, Scooter, Corey, Anna, and Claire, who all became Magnum subscribers this week. We love all of our listeners equally, but we love our Magnum subscribers just a little more. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage and go to VoteFromHome2020.org to make a donation. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week for an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.